Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Outside the Box. I'm your host, Caitiff Gaia, and we're just waiting for Tony and Max to get on board here. We have Cindy. How's it going, Cindy?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're not very loud, though.
All right. Not very loud. Hold on one second. There we go.
That's a little
trying
better.
To get myself in gear here. Doing great. Wonderful.
Much better. Yeah, so I've just asked Tony to give Max a hand.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, Max, sign in using Facebook. And oh, you don't want to set up your own show. Oh, can you turn your speakers down? Cindy, it's, I'm getting all sorts of feedback here.
Okay. Is that better?
Put a headset on.
I've got them on.
Wow.
Hold on a sec.
Uber sensitive mic.
How about I move the mic? How about that?
That's better. And we have Tony here, so I'm just making Tony's mic hot. So, anyway, where were we here? Let's make sure we got Max here. And, yeah, we generally, when I'm just signing into to the show, I just use Facebook to log in with that. And it, that's weird.
I have my own personal Blog Talk account, so I just sign in using that. I've never signed in with Facebook.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
For reference, I had a heck of a time signing in as well and wouldn't do it like it normally does.
It's always an adventure, you know, so I just don't want Max stressing out thinking that he's doing something wrong. No, this is normal. It's never easy for us to get on the air, but that's okay. We're here now. And we'll just wait for Max to get here. In the meantime, we've had a very full day of just amazing chats. This will be 6 hours on the day. Tony, can you give Max a hand just to guide him through?
I can do, but I'm clicking as fast as I can, so just bear with me.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, basically just click on the Skype button, and it should open. Just another little thing that I found happens in the past, too, and this is for anyone that calls in as well using Skype. Sometimes the Click to Talk page will open up behind your web browser, so I've had to minimize my web browser in the past to find it. I've been very frustrated on many occasions. Yeah. Then sign in with Facebook. That's the best way to do it. Absolutely. So looking forward to this. Great show with Max and Santa last night. And rumor has it Santa might even show up tonight. So we'll see. Because I know we had to get up very early this morning to do a podcast. Yes, Cindy?
Yeah, see, he was on a Ustream podcast, and it ended up running, I think, about 3.5 hours. It was. I listened for quite a while, and then I had to take a break and go do some housework and stuff. So, but yeah, he got called in on another show directly after this podcast. So he may or may not pop in tonight.
No worries. Either way, it's looking like this keeps redirecting Max to create his own account page. I trust that Max is on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, I'll let Tony take care of that while we just keep the show rolling here. Yeah,
okay.
So a little bit of Wonderland fun this morning on awakeradio.co.uk. That's my normal morning show here, which is actually the afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m. in the UK. So, it's kind of weird. You're constantly speaking fluent time zones, you know, like, okay, you just got to make sure that you let people know what part of the world you're in. Get a little confusing. What is it, 4 o'clock your time?
It's 4:08 p.m. on the West Coast here, United States.
And I guess, Max is in Australia or New Zealand, I'm not sure. Weird. Anyway, hey, we'll get him on. So no stress there.
No worries.
Anyway, so very interesting show last night with Max and Santo, and Max was
there. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, some of the adventures he's been going on, and it was fascinating to hear. You see, the thing is, there's some of us that are out, like Max is doing, and Santo and what have you, and then there's people like Tony and myself and a few others that are, glued to our helms. Like we run the ships in a different way, but we get to be observers of a magnitude that is quite wondrous to watch all this stuff happening around you. You know, so the world is changing in rapid fashion. Here we are, 48 hours or maybe a little more than that away from December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
2100 hours.
Right. Yes, I'm so excited. And I feel you on being stuck at home, which is a great place to be stuck. At least we have homes to be stuck in.
Yep.
I do take a break and skip out to my beach from time to time. So I do do have a getaway.
And we have Max on the board. I just wanted to let him know that I got him. Your mic's hot, Max. How are you doing?
I'm good. Can you finally hear me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, that was a bit of an experience. It's been a long time since I've done Blog Talk Radio, and it just kept taking me to a page where it wanted me to set up my own show, and I couldn't get past that.
It took me quite a long time to get it figured out, just from listening in on other shows that carried over over the 2 hours. So, how you doing, Max? Nice to meet you.
I'm good. It's nice to be here. It's nice to have been able to make it to the show, and thanks for inviting me on.
Oh, absolutely. A pleasure, Max. It's been a while. Yeah, I was listening to your show with Santo last night on American Freedom Radio, and what I'd love for you to do right now, if you can, just share a little bit of your current adventures. You've been quite the wandering soul.
Yeah, everyone seems to be asking me that question. I just did a show with Mel Fabregas this morning as well that's going to go to air in a few days, and he was asking me the same thing. Yeah, it was an interesting travel. Started off doing ceremony in Peru, and then basically went off around the world, completely circumnavigated the world, actually, just followed synchronicity all around the globe. It was quite a remarkable adventure, and led me to a lot of really interesting places. But because I did ceremony at the start, it kind of gave me a different perspective that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. And it was a real adventure of listening, a real adventure of observation more than anything. It was good that I wasn't going around the world to do any speaking engagements. I did do a few. I got sort of roped into it. But it was mainly just going off to observe and just sort of follow the wave and see where it led me. And it was a remarkable journey. And I'm going to do something rather major next year as well, or I hope to. I want to create a full circle project for next year, and try to link up a lot of the globe through workshops and online. I want to create a website so people can follow us online and stream it and have live streams and video logs and chat applets and possibly do this show from whatever location we happen to be in at the time and get as many people involved as possible, try to create some sort of global groundswell. So that's what came out of the trip this year. You kind of set all these dominoes in place that I think I can really achieve something pretty major next year. So that's the plan at the moment.
Well, I'd say you've achieved many major things, Max. And this is one of the things, too, that, doing what you do and what we do, it's very difficult to actually see from outside of ourselves to what we're actually doing in the eyes of others. And the stuff that you've been doing for a very long time has always been in the fore, you know. So, and I think the reason why we're asking you about your travels is because so many of us get stuck at our helms all day and wishing we were out traveling, but that's just the way it is. I travel the world on my laptop.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it is really interesting when you go out there. One of the most interesting places, or one of the most interesting things about traveling, though, is that when you get everywhere you go, it's like the world seems unreal when you view it on a laptop or when you view it on TV. You know, you think about, wow, wouldn't it be great to go to Europe, or wouldn't it be great to go to America, or wouldn't it be great to go to these places? But you go there and kind of there you are. It's the same as everywhere else, in as much as it's just the earth and they're just people and they're in the same positions and they've got the same needs and desires and personality flaws and defects as everybody else, you know, and they're the same as everybody else. Everyone has their securities and their insecurities and their good moments and their bad moments, and everyone's just as loving and just as needful and just as frail as everybody else. No matter where you go, there you are, you know, and that's the essential thing to remember, is that we're all in this together, you know. We've been fed this whole divided mindset of what the world is. It's all larger than life on the television, but when you go out and you experience it, it's very real, and the people are very real. And I found a real sense of unity amongst the people. I found huge pockets of resistance all around the world to this system. And everybody's really, you know, so many people are awake to it, to what's going on, but they simply don't know what to do about it. And a lot of the people who pretend not to be awake, in many ways they are. They know that there's something wrong. They don't want to look any deeper, but they know that things are just not quite right. They don't want to look any deeper because they're afraid to. They're afraid of what it might do to them. They're afraid of how helpless they may feel if they really knew the truth.
Yeah.
And so that's what you find. But most people are awake to the fact that there's something wrong. And once people figure out what to actually do and a groundswell starts, I think we've already got the numbers to bring about some huge change. We just have to start that groundswell.
Exactly. And you nailed it with the comfort zone. A lot of people don't want to leave that comfort zone where they inherently know within that there is something that's just not right with Kansas anymore, you know? And I know Tony's just itching and chomping at the bit to ask some questions, so I'm gonna hand him over for a sec. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Max. It's a pleasure to have you on board with us, mate. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Tony. Lovely to be here.
Excellent. Yeah, I've got to put my hands up and say, to be honest, mate, you're one of the very first people that sort of like helped me wake up. Studied the Crow House in detail, studied the big picture, New World Order, all those sort of videos that you've done. Brilliant work, by the way. And those are the first dots connectors that got me on this trail. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for watching. I hope it helps. I mean, it's difficult to convey this type of message to people in a way that's empowering, and that's what I hope I'm doing with these things. I think we have to know what the problem is in order to address the problem. But, you know, it seems so big and fearful and terrible to most people. But really, it's simply done by a government that's fiction. I mean, the government only exists on paper. I was talking to people about this this morning. Yeah, we think the government is this big thing, but it's not. It's just a bunch of rules written down in books. That's all the government is. It's fiction. You know, it's just people who follow these rules in books. That's all it's about. And we've got to realize what's going on here. You know, it always comes back to trust. You know, we're probably, the government of public trustees. We actually have the power. And in order to find that power, we need to find ourselves. So that's been the message through the whole thing. But once you see this and you really see how it all works and how fictional it is and how we're really living in a paper-based reality, it's all revolves around the written word, and it's stuff that we all created ourselves. You begin to see how easy it would be to fix things. I mean, the remedy is really simple to all the problems that we face, but it's got to come from the individual, and the individual has to be empowered. They have to know who and what they are, but in order to even want to be empowered, they've got to know what the problem is. And so that's what I tried to do with films like The Big Picture and fight the New World Order with global non-compliance and stuff like this, because we don't have to fight it. If you fight something with weapons, you give it strength. All you have to do is realize that it's fiction and stop complying with it, and there's certainly enough of us to do that. And the way we can do that is to realize what our relationship with the people who control all this paper-based reality is. It's a trust agreement. So the remedy is very, very simple once we can empower the population. And in the other films, things such as The Awakening, just trying to get people to understand how important it is to maintain your emotional state, because that's a language. Your emotions and the electromagnetic field that you're generating is quite literally a language with which you communicate with reality. And when you change that language and change what you're speaking to reality around you, you can change your world. And I'm living proof that it works. So I've just gone right around the world simply following synchronicity. It didn't cost me anything to do that. I could never afford to go around the world. But people just helped, and people just were putting me places and calling me places, and things just worked. And if I got short of money, someone would come along and say, I'll come and do a talk here, and I would get just the amount that I needed to maybe go to the next place and get, you know, it just all worked. I never, ever stressed about it. I never once thought, oh, gee, what am I going to do out here, you know, in the middle of Europe, sort of stranded or anything like that. I never, ever, it never entered my head. Even when I went into Gaza and I was walking in, crawling into this tunnel, which was 50 meters below ground, a little dirt tunnel with no shoring, no walls, just hacked out of the ground. And you're crawling into this tunnel, and I'm looking at it thinking, I wonder if I'm crawling into my own grave. But there was no fear. There's no fear of doing that. It was like, oh, well, if I am, then this is how it goes. Isn't this interesting? What an interesting way to go, you know? And off I went.
Exactly.
There was no fear in anything that I did. And if fear had come into it, then the trip wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have manifested the way it did. it was all sort of, you know, it was almost like I was in a third party position through the whole trip. Like I was an observer of my own journey, and I was observing how I was reacting to certain situations. So I found the whole thing quite fascinating and really, really interesting more than anything. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, understanding how reality works is a big part of it, and that's what I've tried to do in the films. I think we can change things. We can really, really fix the problems that we face, and it would be really, really simple to do so, but we have to understand who we are. We have to understand that if you really want to look at it, God created man, whatever you perceive God to be. God created consciousness, which created us, and everything below us is fiction. We created the whole lot. The entire system that we created, that we perceive to enslave us, was created by us, and it only exists because we believe it to be real. But it's just, it only exists on paper, ultimately.
Yeah, it's the belief structure, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a meme, and that's what the education system's for. It's to instill the idea, the concept within you that the meme is real and this is how reality works, but it's fiction.
Yep, absolutely. And I loved your analogy about if you don't know what's broke, you can't fix it, and that's exactly what I keep saying. It's a bit like taking your car to a mechanic and saying, look, my car's broke. It's out there on the drive. Can you fix it? And the mechanic looking at you with a blank look on his face and saying, well, I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet. And that's where it starts.
Exactly.
You've got to know what the problem is. And we can fix it so very, very simply. It's a very, very simple to fix problem. But, you know, you've got to be aware that the problem's there. I mean, obviously it is. I mean, like I always say, Exhibit A, the Earth. You know, have a look at the place. Hey, we've got a problem, folks. And, you know, and people say, oh, it's corporate corruption. It's this, it's that. But really, all the corporate corruption's there because of the legislation created by governments, which allows it to be there. And the governments only get the power to do that because of the trust agreement they have with us. So ultimately, it comes to us. That's how, when I say, you know, really, if you can point the finger at the government all you like, but it comes down to you. It comes down to you knowing what your relationship with these people is, and you allowing the people around you to discover this as well, or helping them to discover it.
Yes.
So you can all stand together and say, hey, guys, you're all in breach of trust. Exhibit A, the Earth. That's it. End of list. End of discussion. You look at the place. It's all happened because of legislation that you people as public trustees have created. So there's your solution. There's your remedy right there. That is the remedy, and that is the only remedy. But that can only come from an empowered population. So that's why you've got to be spreading information the way you do, but you've got to be not turning on a fire hose, not doing it with fear, just suggesting to people that they maybe look at things from a different perspective and plant seeds with people and allow them to discover the truth for themselves. And that's what I've really hoped to do with the radio shows. That's why I repeat myself so much. Because I think one day I'll do the one show that you can take this one show and you can go and play it to someone who's completely asleep and they're going to get it. And that's what I try to do with the shows, and that's why I repeat myself so much, because I guess one day I'll get it right. You know?
Exactly, and that's the thing, and we find ourselves repeating much of the information over and over, and again, it is about empowering people with knowledge, because with the knowledge and the understanding of what's going on around them, the fear abates. The only reason fear exists is because of the unknown. So what we try to do, just like yourself, is get the information out in little bite-sized pieces, make it fun, and show them that you know, you can have your anger Jones or Alex Jones or whatever you want to call those types that are pumping fear and mayhem and keeping people distracted, looking at all the things that are going wrong instead of focusing on the things that we're doing right. And that's what we do. We just focus on the things that we're doing that are actually changing the world for a better place to be.
Yeah, well, that's what we have to do. That's what you have to do. And you've got to be aware of the situation. You've really got to help people become aware of the situation, but you've got to do it in the right way so that you don't put people in fear, because, I mean, that's what's wrong in the world. Everybody's in fear already. So you don't present it as something fearful. You present it as something fictional, because ultimately that's what it is. You know, it's just fiction. We made it up. We made the whole thing up. And we can fix it by remembering who we are and the fact that we created everything below us. Everything below us is fiction, and we can fix it. But we've got to respect each other to do it, and we're not going to do that until we respect ourselves.
Like you said earlier as well, I mean, all the problems that we've got in the world, a shortage of food, a shortage of energy, a shortage of this, that, or the other, gold, diamonds, whatever the heck it is, it's made. It's part of the construct. It's designed to be a shortage. to keep us constantly in need. So we need this stuff they invent called money to be able to enforce that construct onto us. So we need to pay money for energy when we, in fact we could be having free energy and free travel and free technology. It's amazing.
Well, money is the mechanism that's used to do it. See, what you do is you impose an economic system over human consciousness so that people believe themselves to be subservient to an economic system and people's lives are based on their economic viability. That's what you do. So once you impose an economic system over the consciousness of humankind, you have the ability to control every single thing that they do, everything that they have, and you also have the ability to basically steal the earth. You can use the system to create a perpetual state of scarcity for everybody because of the way money inherently works. You know, people say the love of money is the root of all evil. I would say money itself is the root of all evil. We don't need money at all. There's no reason why we should pay to be alive. But it's very, very difficult for people to even be able to comprehend a system that wasn't based on an economic model. Because the economy is everything to most people. They absolutely believe it's real, but it's a completely fictional system that, like I said, it's designed to steal the planet. Basically, you get to control every single resource and every single piece of real estate that there is, and that's why they call it real estate, because it's real. All the other stuff, all the estates that people have, you know, the houses, the money in the bank, all the stuff and trinkets that they own, these estates are worth nothing. They're not real. They're just perceived value. What's really valuable is life itself, and your quality of life. And your quality of life is based on your relationship between yourself and the world you live in and the people within the world that you live in, but the world itself as well. That's really what wealth is. But we've been trained to base everything on an economic model. That's how it works, and that's why it's done. And money is the mechanism. Money is it's the oil that runs the machine. It's what runs the mechanism, because that's what provides the scarcity. Just the existence of money itself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's one of the positions I've taken, with no identification and no money, no banks, no nothing, right? Not an easy road to take, but my point is that it can be done. Not easy, but it can be done. And in that choice, you discover much about yourself. And again, it's about alleviating the fears within. And you also get to learn a lot about everyone else around you to see what you need to do to change yourself in order to be an example. Again, this is not about going out to try to change anyone else, because that's a trespass and free will choice. Everyone can do what they wish to do up to the point where it is not a trespass on someone else's free will choice. And what I've learned especially is being able to interact with people and effectively cut my losses, as it were, and they were huge, but that's okay, because what I gained at the end of it was an insight that is priceless. You can't buy what I've got. That I know. And the value of of everyone around me, it's when you come to the realization that we all bleed red, that we're all actually related, that we all are, you know, part of this same game here. It would make a lot more sense to work together instead of letting these banks and the rest of the corporate moguls tell us who and where we're going to kill and maim and bomb again, you know. So that paradigm is old world thinking, and it is over. It is done.
Well, it is. It's true, and you have to be responsible for yourself. Like you say, you can't be telling people they have to change. What I'd have always said is the best thing to do is to lead by example in all that you do. Be a shining light. Let your light shine forth. And offer your perspective to the world. Be all that you can be. Improve people's reality by your presence in it. Do everything you can to help those around you, because that's how you improve your own existence, is you improve the existence of others. And that's the way I try to live my life. When I speak out on the radio shows and offer the perspective that I offer, I don't do it because I want people to change. I do it because I think it's the right thing to do. You know, if I see corruption in the world around me and it exists because I allow it to exist, then I have an obligation, I believe, as a responsible custodian of this planet, which is what I am, which is what every generation is, every generation, the people themselves are the custodians of freedom. They're the custodians of this planet. And we've been getting progressively worse at the job. The more westernized we've become, the more we've been educated, in inverted commas, we become less and less responsible for ourselves and less responsible for the planet. So that's why we're seeing all this degradation. So I feel I have an obligation to speak out and say the things that I do, because I do so in the hope that it may help people shift their perspective and remember the responsibility that they have. Remember that we are custodians of this planet. This is our home. And that all the problems that we face come from, ultimately, government corruption is what they come from. They come from a group of out-of-control public trustees who are out of control because we don't know who we are, because these trustees took over the education system and they educated that knowledge out of our existence, and they promoted the economic model. They superimposed an economic system over who we are. And that's what's been done, and I believe that if people don't wake up to this, it will result in the destruction of this planet and all life upon this planet. It will result in the genetic modification of all life on this planet and a very, very horrific control system, which is it will make 1984 and Brave New World pale into insignificance and mere afterthoughts when you see where this system is actually going. It's like Brave New World meets the Borg. Is where they're taking this planet and all life on this planet. Well, they are, and they're doing it because we're not paying attention. And we've given away our responsibility, and we've allowed ourselves to become subservient to an economic model which is essentially fiction. And that's why I do what I do. I speak out the way I do. And I'm happy to debate any politician, any lawyer, any media person, anybody on this topic, anywhere around the world. And that's something that I want to try to do with the Full Circle trip next year as well. I want to go through as many countries as possible. If people can help me get there, we'll go through these countries, we'll have workshops, and we'll try to arrange some sort of a speaking engagement with some of the more powerful people in the area, perhaps some of the leaders in the area, some of the politicians in the area, create some sort of a public discourse with these people so they can show themselves up in public. That's if we can get any of them to do it. I mean, you know, if we create enough media hype and media attention and try to get enough people on board, hopefully we can create a real online sensation, a real online movement that people can participate in through the blogs, through the video logs, through the chat rooms, through the live streams. And we can go to whichever place we can get to. Whoever can get us there will go there. Get as many people involved as possible. I'd like to have like Ben Stewart involved and Rick Simpson and Ken O'Keefe and anybody that I can find that wants to be involved, that is a known sort of a person that has any type of a running fan base, that we can link all these people up together and create this global groundswell. That's what I want to try to do. And I want to make it so in your face that it can't be ignored. You know, and that's what I really want to try to do with the Full Circle project next year, and take us full circle back to where we should be, because we're not going to be able to bring this system down. We're not going to be able to have mass arrests, like people say. We're not going to be able to vote these people out. We're not going to be able to have Occupy protests and pull down the system and anything like that, because ultimately all we'll do is put new leaders in place. What we have to do is realize what our relationship with the system is, which is a trusteeship. It's a trust agreement. And we have to use our ability to be able to rein our trustees in to do just that, to rein them in and to change the direction the system is going. First step, eliminate all debt and get all the toxins out of the environment so we can start opening up to who we really are again. So we're not biologically under attack, electromagnetically under attack. We know what's going on. We just have to take control of the system ourselves. So we can't stop it now. If we just bring it down and crash it, there'll be chaos, there'll be anarchy, a new dictatorship will be born, it'll just be too many people will suffer. So we have to rein it in, and we have to, by simply eliminating fear-based mind control, by getting everybody out of debt, cancelling all the debt immediately, getting the fluoride out of the water and getting the toxins out of the food, you'll find that over a period of 30 or 40 years, if we can maintain a purity of environment and maintain a debt-free system of trade, or an interest-free system of trade, and get everybody out of this fear-based mind control and everybody out of away from the biological attack that they're under, you'll find that in 30 or 40 years, people will start becoming active again. They'll start becoming activated. And this system will collapse. It'll simply dismantle itself by default because people will realize how unnecessary it is. It really is. It's completely unnecessary and it's completely fiction. But we're locked into this biological state, this electromagnetic state and this education state where we believe the system's real. And I think we just have to we have to realize what it is. I mean, I think that's the way we can dismantle it. We have to rein it in. We can't just crash it. It won't work if we do that. We need something to replace it with, but it will replace itself once we become free to be all that we can be. But that's not going to happen until we take responsibility for what our public trustees are doing.
Well, the good news, based on the numbers that I'm seeing over the last little while of people listening in and what have you, those numbers are way larger than I think most people can imagine. And I'm basing that just simply from my one little position here of what my thing is that I do and Tony and the rest of us. And those numbers have went exponential over the last 3 months, and I'm talking nth degree exponential. So I see a very, very bright future coming up where all this paradigm stuff that has been, they've been trying to sell us in the script of the pre-sent information, it's all coming down. It is all coming down, and I have absolute faith in my fellow man and my fellow aspects of consciousness that regardless of what this system wants to keep throwing at us, we are finally awake and rising above it. This is what I'm seeing. This is not like conjecture. So this is what I mean. When you're out doing the things that you're doing, Max, I think a lot of times people don't, they under, I know I do, underestimate the abilities and the power that the individual has that finally takes responsibility upon themselves to be a light, if that's probably the best way to describe it. And once people see it, again, I go back to that the movie The Patriot, where the last scene where they're ready to retreat away from victory, and Mel Gibson comes running up the hill, and this young soldier stops as he's retreating and looks, and he goes, oh, and he decides to change direction, and ultimately they won the day. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of. I'm seeing a lot of those, young soldiers, without the guns, mind you, turning around and saying, yeah, I can do this. This is the little train that can and will. It's, from my perspective, what I'm seeing, Max, it's absolutely astonishing. It's beautiful.
Well, it is. Yeah. It has to happen. It absolutely has to happen. And the system is causing itself to implode. The more it tries to lock everybody down, the more people it's waking up by default. So, and consciousness is more powerful than fiction. So it has to implode. That's just by default. That's what it's doing to itself.
I don't think it's going to take anything like 30 years to be able to bring this one round, because as soon as we know what's wrong with it, we can begin to fix it. So it's simply, like Kate was saying, it's awareness. Once we're aware that there's a cog in the machine that's actually broken and maybe we need to look at fixing that, I think, we could change the world tomorrow just by not paying taxes, having a day off work. There's all sorts of different things that we could do, the technology we've got and the abilities we've got and the solutions to all the problems we've got are absolutely incredible when people have actually looked. And that, so I don't see it taking anywhere near 30 years. And I don't think, to be honest, we need to take anywhere like 30 years. I think we can do this thing very rapidly. But it's up to the people to become conscious about the whole situation.
Oh, we could. We could change the world in 3 seconds if we changed our energetic state. I've often said that. The thing is, though, what I was saying was with the 30 years, I think it'll take 30 years to get the toxins out of the environment. If we stop the fluoride now, I mean, we're getting tuna fish with fluoride in them now. If we get the GM food out of our environment right now, and we get the fluoride out of our environment, we stop all these toxic industries right now, I think it'll take about 30 years to actually clean up our environment enough so that when children are born, they're being born with the pineal gland open. They're being born with more DNA active and all of this sort of stuff. That's what I meant with the 30-year comment. I think it will take that long for Earth to recover from damage that we've done if we leave it alone now. There'll be certain things, of course, will probably take longer. I mean, we've got Fukushima, we've got Chernobyl, we've got Gulf of Mexico. We've got all these other things that are going to take longer. But just improving our biological environment, I think it will take at least 20 years or to 30 years to maybe two to maybe three generations before people will start being born fully activated again. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, I think we could change the world in one day with 24 hours of non-compliance. One day of global non-compliance would send a shockwave around the planet. I said this back in 2008. I released a film, Fight the New World Order with Global Non-Compliance. Just one day. That would send such a shockwave around the planet that it would literally change the reality that we live in. And so, yeah, I mean, we could change it in 3 seconds if we really wanted to come into our power. But it's a big ask to get the whole world to do it at once. But, you know, even if we do come into this power and we manage to rein this system in, I think it's going to take at least 2 or 3 decades before we've got an environment that is, a little bit more sound and a little bit more friendly towards life, because it certainly isn't at the moment. And even with the chemtrails, I mean, how long is it going to take to get this aluminium and this barium and these toxins that are in the soil? It's going to take a few decades before the soil starts to recover from this, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of technologies coming online, too. One of the things, when you mentioned Fukushima, John Hutchinson had actually made an offer to go there and take care of it with his technology. And again, he's using the Tesla information, and we have Kesh information coming out now. That stuff is coming online. And when we're dealing with, as you were saying, energy, this is all energy. And when you get I wish I could think like a John Hutchinson, but when you have the ability to understand it to the level that people like Kesha and Hutchinson do, it's really just a matter of rearranging that energy. And that can be done area by area very quickly. I mean, here's a guy that said, listen, send me to Fukushima, I'll take care of it. And, of course, they don't want that because they're too busy selling on the fear porn and poisoning the planet, because that's effectively what they're trying to do, which
oh,
is
absolutely
kind of silly.
Absolutely.
But whatever.
It all serves a purpose, absolutely. Well, there's ways of fixing things. It's going to take a little while to get the fluoride out of the environment and stuff as well. But, yeah, I mean, we do have the technology to fix all these things, and they won't be implemented. As you say, they won't ever go and allow him to implement this. And the reason they won't allow it to happen is because we don't know who we are, because we don't know that the only people who are stopping them from implementing this technology are public trustees, and that we can rein them in by realizing that's what they are. That's why I always come back to this. It's like I'm beating a dead horse, but I always come back to it. This is what the solution is to all of it. We could mandate. We're the people here by mandate that you, the government, implement this technology. You have 30 days to comply. Should you fail to comply, you've abdicated your right to govern, and you'll be required to step down. And you'll be then replaced by a new group of public trustees. This is our will, because this is called democracy. You call it a democracy. Okay, well, here's 51% of the people that have just mandated that you do this. If you don't, then it's not a democracy. You've just broken your own rules. We'll get your own police to arrest you if you like. But we have to be adamant about it. We don't question it. We don't petition it. We don't ask them to do this. We tell them, because this is a democracy and you are our trustees, this is what you're going to do. If you fail to comply, we're going to sack you. They did it in Iceland. Why don't we ever hear about what's going on in Iceland? In Iceland, they sacked their government. And they did it because their government is simply a group of public trustees who sold the country out from under them and basically got them in an enormous amount of debt through their actions. And so the people said, hey, well, it's your problem. You fix it. You're all sacked, and we don't go along with any of the stuff that you just did. We want our country back. And, in fact, we've got our country back because we don't acknowledge any of the debt that you just created. That's your problem. You fix it. You're in breach of trust. Go away.
Absolutely. That's the model. That's the key.
It is. See, it's that simple to fix everything. It's that simple to implement that technology that you've just talked about. But the people have to wake up to who they are. And that's exactly the challenge that we face. That's the biggest challenge that we face. Everyone's looking for a solution from an external source. I can vote the government in, I can petition this, I can create a movement, I can do this, I can do that. All you really have to do is know who you are and be prepared to stand in that and help others around you to discover who they are so they can stand by your side. And you can all stand together, and then we can fix the problem.
Yeah, and we also need to tell them, you see, this is one of the biggest things. They're hiding the technology from us, that if that technology comes out, then all the construct fails. And that's why it's been my effort to try and get the information out about the truth of the levels of technology they've got. I mean, we've got people like Otis T. Carr and Ralph Ring that were building UFOs in the 50s. Yeah, I'm talking anti-gravity vehicles. And we've got Mirhan Kesh, who's doing the same using matter and antimatter. They can build. We can build force fields. We can build unlimited amounts of free energy. When we study the harmonics, like John Hutchinson that Kate just mentioned, we can create some incredible field effects in metals and cleaning effects, Sofregesso frequencies, etc., to clear the water and transmute that filthy chemical-laden water back into the purest forms of water. But again, electrogravitics, if they applied electrogravitics to jets, just normal passenger jets, which is easy, it's a couple of wires on the wings, and you'd reduce the fuel bills of the planes by massive amounts. This is all technology that we should have access to, that we paid to have developed as well, but has all been hidden away under black ops programs and stuff like this. So it's the magnitude of what's actually been kept from us, and the fact that it's been kept from us has got us deeper and deeper and deeper into this situation. So overnight, if we demanded that they release the information, do you see what I'm saying? Or step down, as you said, or we'll take over, as you've said. Any one of those things could completely change things in an instant, as you've said. But we have to be honest and talk about these things. How many? If you sit in front of a politician, say, right, tell me about the truth about free energy, and he can't, you say, right, I'll tell you about the truth of free energy. And then, you know, how are they going to argue with that? They can't argue with that for 2 seconds because you can provide the proof. And that's the point. That's what we've done. It's all about telling the truth about what we really do have, and that changes everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to have some pretty substantial proof about it, though. You really do, because I mean, a lot of things like that, people, like I said, they're trained to believe what they're taught to believe, and the government can always have things like plausible deniability when you talk about things like free energy. There's always a certain section of the population that's going to be skeptical. It's like talking about chemtrails with people. I mean, you can do soil analysis and water analysis, and the government will admit that they're spraying and doing geoengineering, and the people are still in denial about it. So it's very difficult to bring information to them. So what I've been trying to do is congeal it down into something really, really basic and think, well, everybody's got a problem with government. Everybody's got some bill or something that the government's done that they don't like. So what they have to do is realize what their relationship with them is, which is trusteeship. And really, if we can get people to think this way, then that's how to eliminate all of the other problems. Because even the problem of the suppression of free energy is a symptom. It's a symptom of the breach of trust that our governments are committing. But we don't know the trust agreement exists. The whaling, the deforestation, the wars, the pollution, the GM food, the fluoride, all of these problems, the money system, all of them, these are all a result of breach of trust. Because we don't understand that that's what our relationship with them is. So ultimately, that's the solution. That's the solution to all the symptoms. And it's so simple that you don't have to get anyone to shift their paradigm. You don't have to get them to change their political point of view. You don't have to try to convince them that free energy is real or that chemtrails exist or anything. You don't have to do anything that may freak them out. All you've got to get them to do is to shift their perspective about what their relationship between themselves and government is, because that's a solution to all of the other problems. And once we address that actual solution, all of the little symptoms down the line, these will all become apparent by default. All of this stuff will be exposed. Once we put some transparency back into our democratic system by realizing that it's simply a trusteeship, we get some transparency in there. But we need to have groundswell. We need to have a movement of people to do this. Yeah, but once we get that and we get that movement underway, all of the symptoms, they all become exposed. See, it's good just to point out stuff like about free energy to people, but a lot of the people you're going to talk to have got this perception of the written word. They've got this education system which has told them what's possible, and they don't even know what they are, so they only think what they can perceive with their left brain and what it says in this book is possible. You know, it's only possible if it fits within these parameters that they've been trained to think reality works in. So, it's a difficult thing for a lot of people, no matter how obvious it is. If it isn't in this book and it didn't say so on the television, why should I believe you? So you've created a situation where an argument can develop, a debate can develop. But really, when you start looking at the trust agreement, there's no debate here. This is an obvious common sense fact. Every relationship you have with anybody is a trust agreement. What makes people think their relationship with government is anything less than a trust agreement? Of course it's a trust agreement. So this is where our remedy lies. I really believe it. I push it so hard because I really believe it's so simple that once the average person, you know, Joe Public, who watches the football and drinks beer every night, he can figure this out. And once we get these people to understand this, then we have that groundswell. And once someone stands up and starts calling breach of trust in their governments, and calling on their governments to show cause why they shouldn't be held in breach of trust, it's going to start a global movement. And it's simple enough for everybody to get it. And then all of the symptoms, man, they all disappear by default once we rein the governments in. But it's got to come from the individual, you see.
Yeah, just one comment on that. One of the things, you've mentioned it a couple of times, trying to figure out what the relationship is with the government, and that's been the problem all along, you see, because what we've uncovered is the fact that the government is claiming to actually be related to us through the birth bonds that have never made it to shore. We've been on very interesting trails of late, uncovering a lot of stuff in ways that most people can't even imagine, and that's okay. What we have discovered is the fact that the birth bond, the original long form, never made it to shore. It was held up in customs, and a receipt called the short form, which is actually proof of fraud, was given out. So here's the problem, and this goes right back to Richard I, in that the birth bond, or any contracts, Sherat or Star covenants is what they're called, are not lawful until they're deposited in lawful repository. King Richard commanded this. This is after Edward I banned all the Jews from England, by the way. And it goes way back. We've traced this all the way back to the point where I'm looking at how Edward I was able to secure the family names beyond just pieces of paper, and he used prima nocte as one of his methods to, you know, thin the blood, where, you know, no one knows who is coming from where. The only proof of life is the ether that runs through your veins. It's called blood. And effectively what's happened as a result of all the layers, I can go into this for hours, but as a result of all the layers, the government is claiming to actually be related to us, and that's how they're able to do what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is, anything that they do or that we do using this name is pure fraud. And effectively what we are in the UPU, under the UPU, Universal Postal Union, are 7 billion postal workers. And we've uncovered it, so it's just a matter of a few finished details and an invocation of Clausula Rebus Sextantibus, and that's what I'm working on right now. So it's quite fascinating when you start to see how they've actually duped us, and it goes a long way back, right? So no, the government isn't related to me, and I do not have a relationship with the government. They've claimed to be something that they're not with me, and as far as I'm concerned, sorry, can't do that, and there was never a trust agreement to begin with. There will be shortly.
Well, yeah, in some ways I can see what you're saying, but again, I mean, all of the legal stuff that you look through, it's all fiction that was created. See, ultimately your relationship with...
That's my point.
Oh, yeah, of course. But see, ultimately, your relationship with anyone is a trust agreement. Your relationship with the pizza delivery guy is a trust agreement. Your relationship with your babysitter is a trust agreement. With your car mechanic, yeah, the relationship that we're having with each other as we talk to each other on the air here is a trust agreement. Yeah, it's trust. Absolutely. We trust that we will respect each other. So yeah. if the nation of the United States or the nation of Canada, I'm not sure, are you in the United States?
No, I'm north of that border. I'm Irish, actually.
Okay. Well, whatever. Where are you? But let's use the United States as an example. You know, the nation of the United States is the people of the United States. That is the nation, if the nation exists at all. I think it's a construct. But you know, the nation is the people of the United States. And then they appoint a group of administrators to administer their infrastructure. They vote them in. These people swear to serve the American people because they're public trustees. That's all they are. They are holding the nation in trust for the people. And because you have, you know, these people in charge that are doing this stuff, well, the relationship they have with people is a trust agreement. Of course it is. Whether you believe you have a relationship with government or not, well, you live in the country, so you do, because they're in control of the infrastructure. So if they're enacting legislation which is causing you to be in a state of hardship, they're in breach of trust. If they're claiming they have control over you through the birth certificate or through any of these things that they've done, okay, show me proof of claim. As far as I know, I'm living flesh. My name is man. Blood flows in my veins. I was brought into this planet under the rule, under God. God brought me into existence. It says in your legal system, which you claim is based on the laws of God, that thou shalt not serve two masters. I can only serve God. If you're claiming you're a higher authority than God and you have jurisdiction over me, show me proof of claim and we can move forward. But at the moment, I'm suggesting that if you're even saying you can inflict legislation upon me, then you're in breach of trust because my relationship with you is a trust agreement. That's the way I look at it, and they kind of stare at you dumbfounded when you say it because they don't have any recourse.
And that's fine for you. I'm more concerned with the individuals on the street that are getting guns put in their face. I mean, I've been kidnapped at gunpoint by a cop.
Well, that's the thing.
You know? I know what to say.
You try saying this to a cop, and it doesn't work. The cops, they don't care. I mean, these guys aren't overly intelligent, or they wouldn't be police, you know. And they don't care. You can argue this all you like with a cop, and I've done it, and they get very violent about it, and they lock you up. But, you know, in a court system, that's ultimately what the relationship is. But what the thing is, it's very difficult for one person to do this. It's very difficult for the individual to do this. But you imagine if the whole population understood this and understood this is how it works, and they all just did this one day of non-compliance and called breach of trust, you know? Imagine what we could achieve by simply stopping as a population and calling breach of trust if people actually understood that nobody is any better than anybody else. We're all in this together. We are all equal under God, whatever you perceive God to be. Even if you perceive there is a God, I don't care what you perceive it to be. It could be a giant robot for all I care. I'm not interested in what you perceive God to be. But let's say we are all equal under God, and we have a group of administrators in charge of all of our countries. Of course we do. And so our relationship with them has to be trust. It has to be a trust agreement. Just imagine if the whole population could figure this out and see the sense of it. And actually stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. I believe that's how, that's where the remedy is. But you're not going to have that until people understand their own personal power. Because it comes down to you. It comes down to what you are individually. Everything below that is fiction. And it's what you choose to believe in. I really believe this. It's what people choose to give power to by their belief in it. People give power to the system through their belief that the system is real. But it's fiction. It's all fiction. You know, we are man. We created the whole lot. We made the whole thing up, and we've forgotten who we are. We have to reestablish that connection, that inner connection to our heart, that inner connection to the earth, that inner connection to each other, to the universe, to life. That's what true wealth is. And once we realize this, I think that's where the change will come from.
Hmm. No, as I say, you've got I quite see your point. There's no question with that. But I'm just looking at it as well from the other factors, as in, you know, how did they go about achieving this amazing, and it is amazing, feat of trickery that's ended up...
It's word magic. Exactly. It's word magic, and it's fast, and we need people to look down. People need to understand this. People need to have it spelled out to them. And with the work you're doing, you can say, well, look, it's all fiction. Here's where they made it up. They just did this. Oh, look, they thinned the blood. They did, what does this mean? Oh, yeah. You can see how they've done it. But it's all word magic, you see. It's because people are defining their reality by the written word. This is what I came back to at the beginning of the show. You know, people define their reality by the written word. They know what they're taught to know, and it's defined by the written word rather than what they actually know in their heart. And we've had that knowing taken away from us. We should know who we are, know what our relationship to reality is, but instead of that, we have it defined for us. And so therefore, we have someone else's version of reality superimposed over reality. And that's what we've got. And we absolutely need people to do this. I mean, there's so many people locked in their left brain. They need this information. They need to see how it was done. That's the only way they'll ever understand it, you know. But exactly. You know what I'm saying. I mean, I'm sure you know what I'm saying. When you go within your heart and you really get above it all, you realize the whole lot of it, everything, all of it is a construct. The whole lot's a construct, and it's all word magic. It's incredible how they've done it. It's fascinating, but it's ultimately it's word magic, the whole lot.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It is word magic. But if we can learn how to wield that word magic and use their own system, and turn that sort of like and put it in their face and put their face to the mirror and say, look, we know how you're doing it. This is how you've done it. We can demonstrate the lineage of how you did it from the beginning to now, and therefore, you know, you haven't got a leg to stand on, and you can just spin that magic back at them and say, look, gotcha. You're using your own magic against you, and that's the situation that we're looking at. And in order to do that, we need to understand what's the truth of how they got us here, and that truth will set us free, because we can use that truth. You know, then it's their truth, so let's use their magic against them. And I do agree with what you say. When you look in the mirror, you're not a Mr. So-and-so. You're a human being before God. I agree with that. It's just that if we can find the cogs in the wheel and demonstrate them to everybody, then the secret's exposed, the magic's broken, and the spell is reversed on those who perpetrated it on us in the first place. Bang.
Absolutely. There's a fantastic quote, actually, by Terence McKenna that I'd like to give you. And it says, Terence said, the syntactical nature of reality, the real secret of magic, is that the world is made of words. And if you know the words that the world is made of, you can make of it whatever you wish. And
absolutely,
that really is such, there is such wisdom in that quote.
Absolutely.
And it is. It's absolutely word magic. And we're waking up to it. That's what's so beautiful about this time. And it's the work people like you are doing and going down and looking through these rabbit holes and seeing how it was all done. I mean, it's fascinating. It is. It's fascinating research doing it. I mean, I love researching and looking at how things work, but you know, you get above it and you just go, wow, it's ultimately the solution is so ridiculously simple that people cannot see the forest for the trees. They need to go and they need to educate themselves on all this stuff, when really the answer, it's within. It's been there all along. You know, all the rabbit holes that I've been down, all the fingers that I pointed at everybody, all the questions that I was searching for an answer for, ultimately what I was looking for was myself. And when I found myself, it all became incredibly simple.
This is why when people, gurus, etc., and people just say, sit down in a quiet room, turn on the lights, or close your eyes and meditate for a minute. Well, the point is, like you just said, as soon as you do that, you realize, oh my God, I am consciousness. I am here having an experience as a human being, caught in this construct for now, experiencing the reality of consciousness itself. It's awesome. But getting that information across to people is a huge task because of the conditioning, the magnitude of the conditioning that people have been put under. And that's where we come to expose that conditioning and expose how they've managed to do it. And that's what we do. We're breaking it down. I mean, you can't write a book if you can't understand, string a sentence together. And you can't string a sentence together unless you understand the alphabet. And unless you understand the geometric sort of like origins of the letters and the words that were written up by the Hebrews and the Jesuits, you can't understand the magic. And if you don't understand the magic, how can you ever use the magic against them? You can't. It's perfect. And that's what we're setting about doing.
Oh, it's a very clever system. I mean, it's all fear-based mind control and word magic. It is. Fear-based mind control is the basis of this whole system, you know, and people are coming out of it now.
It's about understanding the green language, and that's one of the things that has been my main focus. And most people don't have a clue of what they're saying. And I got to tell you, it took a long time to crack through this code, but I got through it. Every word means it's equal and opposite, and there are layer upon layer of levels on each word as well. So the trickery runs a lot deeper than what most people actually see, because I got to tell you, I had many, many epiphany moments of like, oh my goodness, look at that. And but we got there. Again, it's just a matter of finally understanding what the true intentions of the individual are versus what the spells are. Most people only see the spellings. They don't actually listen to the words. And you can spell that W-A-I-R-R-E-D-S, just as, you know, a brief example. Again, it's the sound, right, 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 or right. What did I say? How did I spell it? And it's always about the intention. And most people just cast spells willy-nilly, and that's been the power they've had, because people actually think they're saying something, and they're not. They're casting spells against themselves.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's what they teach you to spell when you go to school. I've done whole shows about this. You know, I said in a recent talk at Antheon Gaia that people would say a spell is a series of words, and I would say a word is a series of spells. You know, and that's why they teach you to spell when you go to school, because you're spelling reality, because your people's understanding of reality is controlled by their understanding of the written word. People are enslaved to the written word. That's why it was introduced the way it was, and that's why English was introduced, and why English has been made such a universal language, because English is such a disconnecting language. There's so much missing from English. So if people's understanding of reality is based on their understanding of the language, well, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it does appear that there's so much missing from it, but if you've taken it to a deeper level, we're having a guy called Marty Leeds. I don't know if you've looked at his work, but it's all about breaking the alphabet down into the... well, basically, if you open out your hands and you count the fingers on your hands and you look at the different positions, they all relate to the magical letters and the alphabet. And the alphabet has been constructed as word magic, as you quite accurately just said. And when, if you look at the, you know, think about in the beginning there was the word, obviously you know all about this, but my point is that's what all of this harmonic universe we find ourselves in, it's all words, it's all frequencies, it's all harmonics, it's not Newtonian physics, it's vibration, and it's with those vibrations that we manifest reality around us. Just the same as magicians doing magic and, you know, all this sort of thing. But we've been tricked into manifesting the what we didn't want rather than what we do want by the use of the words, the alphabet, and the pronunciation. And that's the...
Oh, absolutely.
One level.
Absolutely. We're spelling reality. We're quite literally spelling it, all of it. And it's a collective spell. It's a collective belief that this is how reality works and this is what it is. And it's all defined by the language, by the interpretation of the word in the language. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's exactly how it works. And that's exactly why the English language is so clever. It's incredibly clever. It's completely disconnected us from our connection to Earth, and it's locked us within a word matrix, you know?
I do know, yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of it.
Matrix isn't that tough. Yeah, the matrix isn't that tough once you see it. English, we're actually speaking what we used to speak in Babylon. This is angel-ish. And when you finally see that it is a perfect trap from the perspective of good and evil, you'll see that it's the perfect release as well. Because look at the word release, right? When you go to release a car, you're going to re-rent it, right? Instead of, and what do they do with people in jail? They release you. Oh, okay, what are you leasing? So, again, it's all about the deception and the wordplay, and I've had lots of fun playing this game. But, again, English is the master language. It is the one that we need to be using to decipher and decode this matrix. The bottom line is this. Every letter, every number, every shape, symbol that you can think of came off the Flower of Life. It's all there. Some beautiful studies from, I can't remember his name, a Jewish fella, showing all the symbols of the Greek Paleo-Hebrew alphabet using the shapes of his hands and where he places them in comparison to his head, how he can see it with his eyes closed. And, it all came off the Flower of Life, or the Flower of Life, depends how you want to pronounce it.
Yeah,
Interesting stuff.
The same thing is true for sacred geometry. The geometric nature of the universe is all encoded in the Flower
Matria.
Of Life as well.
Yeah, it's all matria.
Yeah, well, everything's based mathematically and geometric. That's the interesting thing about this reality. Everything, even the smallest droplets of water and even the smallest particles, they all follow set mathematic principles and set geometric principles. It's a mathematical construct. It's a matrix. It's a spelled reality. It absolutely
exactly.
is. And I think the beauty of this time is that people are waking up to it. People are starting to understand how it works. And it's a big task ahead of us, but it's a hell of a time to be alive, isn't it? It's fantastic to see this awakening happening.
It's awesome. It's so exciting. And, I mean, if anybody wants to try and comprehend the magnitude of the geometry that we are, just look at a snowflake. It's perfect, you know? It's incredible. It's everywhere. Harmonics is everywhere. And as soon as we see how all of this has come together piece by piece by piece, we then realize it all comes down to alchemy. And it's the hermetic principles and the alchemical processes that have been split up into different languages in schools and taken out in separate directions. So what we need to do is bring all of those things back to the center again and complete the circle. It's perfect.
Yeah, alchemy. They say alchemy isn't possible, yet they do it every day in the scientific world. They create a new element when they convert uranium into plutonium every day in nuclear power stations. So there's alchemy there for people who don't believe alchemy is possible. Actually, mainstream science does it every day. Pardon?
Yeah, that's the evil side of it. That's why we need to stop doing that.
Well, it's the evil side of it, but it's still converting one element into another element. And it's in, I mean, Plutonium's a new element. So for people who, as soon as you mention alchemy, people go, oh, alchemy, that's a myth. Well, you just point out, well, hang on, it isn't a myth because the scientific community does it every single day. So if they can do it with that, what makes anybody think it isn't possible from other means, you know?
Well, someone in the chat room just nailed it. This is exactly what alchemy is. It's transmutation. It's changing something from one form to another. And one of the things that I've loved about Matt Presti and Rob Otey's work, having talked with them a number of times now, dealing with Russellian philosophy, there's a Walter Russell, there's a guy that had his head together from a very young age, and he basically debunked all scientific approaches as being garbage. Newton was basically an idiot, and he was. And when you stop and look at things, even Albert Einstein went as far to say that the one regret he did have in his life was he didn't spend more time looking at Russell's theories and finally understanding what the nature of this universe is from the creator perspective. And it is. It's all about ebb and flow. We've got two urges here. And this is one of the things that I'm trying to convey to people in their own empowerment, is that we ebb and flow. This is cosmic law. This is nature in motion. You know, we have this urge to separate, and we have this urge to return to the oneness. And that is creation, in a nutshell. That's how time persists. That's how space persists. So now we take it to a slightly ethereal level, especially lately on this show. Oh, my God. But anyway, yeah, it's...
Hey, Kate? Santos just buzzed me, and I believe he's trying to sign on. I just wanted to let you know. I just sent him the link for the show and told him how to log in. So just wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay. And actually, I do have a couple of callers here. I'm just wondering if you guys want to take some calls. I've got my eyes on the board now. I was in the chat room. Sorry about that. I got to keep my eyes everywhere here. So anyway, we have a call in from area code 802-893. Just made your mic hot. I'm not sure if you're just listening or if you have any questions or comments. So area code 802-893, questions or comments?
Yeah, I had some quick comments and a question, you know.
Sure.
Have these guys, these New World Order folks, you know, Daddy Bush and George Bush, have they committed crimes?
Yep.
Committed crimes under international law, absolutely. I mean, the whole invasion of Iraq was a crime under international law.
Okay. So that being said, all the consciousness stuff is great, or consciousness stuff is great. All the waking people up is great. Working on the environment, fine. But to stop it, we got to send these guys to jail. These guys, like you just said, you admitted to me, that's why I asked it first, they've committed crimes, and we got to send these guys to jail, because if we don't send these guys to jail, they're going to hijack and spin everything. We got to cut the head off the snake. And like I asked, you know, the crimes that they've committed is money laundering, fraud, murder for hire, espionage, treason, sedition, murder, even.
Well, the list goes on and on. I mean, really, I appreciate the comments. Well, you're preaching at the choir. Of course they're criminals. There's ways to go about this. And until people are awake enough, these guys, this is where the responsibility comes back to you and me and all the rest of us, trying to awaken others around us to empower the people where they will stand, where these people that are criminals do get their just rewards.
Yeah, absolutely. See, that's the thing, you know, you've got to understand that the system that's in place that we could possibly use to prosecute these people is the system that they put in place. And we've tried to prosecute them before. We've tried prosecuting certain people that have done horrendous crimes, and they just get released again because we're always using that system. That's why I believe we've got to step above it and put it back into trust, put it back into fiduciary trust, because really that's what your relationship with government is. So this requires a groundswell of people to understand what their relationship with government is. And once they understand that, that gives us the ability to hold these people accountable. But don't hold them accountable under the legal system they constructed. It's got to be put back into basic trust, God's law, whatever you perceive that to be. But basic trust, I mean, natural law. Let's get serious about things here, you know. If there's been a harm done, then there's someone who's got to be accountable for that harm. And it's pretty cut and dry. But we're not going to do that without a groundswell of people. That's the problem. So the worst thing we can do at the moment is to go in there half-cocked now and try to use their system to prosecute them, because it won't work.
Yeah,
you know?
So But we do have the groundswell, and I don't want anyone to doubt that. This is what I was trying to say earlier in the show. Oh. Groundswell is there to a level most can't see. And by the way, we do have Santos, and I do have one other caller. I just want to bring them in quick. Santo, you there?
I am.
Okay, I just got one more call we'll bring in here, and then we're going to let you guys rip. Okay, this is a Skype caller, Resende. Questions or comments?
Yes, hello. Am I on air?
You are on the air.
Okay, hello. I'm very glad about this because I've been waiting the whole show. Well, I'm from Mexico. I'm 24 years old, and I've been following Mexican for a while. Like, this is the first time I actually get to speak to him. I'm just like, I know I admire this guy a lot, and I've been following him. Like, I used to be very into all of this and used to research a lot by myself. All that I could knew in both senses, like trying to know more about the New World Order stuff, but also trying to know more about the energy universe and stuff. So I tried to start awakening people, I suppose, in Mexico City when I used to live there. But I got very, very bad feedback. Like, actually, my parents got very scared about stuff. And so actually, right now, I'm trying to lay off a little bit of that. But I still continue to hear Maxwell Ligon a lot, frequently. Because I think he's very honest in what he's saying, and he does believe what he's saying. So, and he does not compromise what he's saying. Like, he doesn't go for a cause, but I believe he does it for a greater good. So, well, the thing is this. Now I get people asking me questions about what I think is going to happen in 2012 and what is all the Mayan calendar about, stuff like that. And I'm telling them, like, try to focus more in your own life and how are you planning to live in the next few years and stuff, instead of all the conspiracy and theory. Like, there's a lot and that's true and whatever, but I realize that it's more important to, like, kind of handle your life before and then like, okay, like, go ahead and research whatever. For instance, I'm trying to join the Masons just to find out what they're all about. Well, whatever. The only thing I want to know is that, like, you have any advice for these people like me or even younger that are trying to get awake, but at the same time they don't know how to tell apart for good information to bad information. You know.
Follow your heart.
Yeah, I believe, like I said, the best thing anybody can do is lead by example in all that you do. Improve your reality. Be a joy to be around. And people will want to know why you are so connected, why you're happy all the time, and they'll want the information you've got. Just plant seeds in people's minds, but don't do it from a fearful perspective. Too many people start screaming about fear and New World Order and the end of the world and all sorts of stuff, and it puts people around them in fear, and they start thinking that you've lost the plot, and they don't want to go where you are because you're so fearful. But if you lead by example in all that you do, and if you know who you are and you know what you are, you know that your body is just an experience you're having. It's just a biological computer downloading a frequency that you're experiencing as you. It's what you do with that experience, how you improve reality by your presence in it. What is the legacy you're leaving behind, you know, by being here? What is the purpose of your existence? And showing that to people, showing how what you really are, and leading by example in all that you do. You do this and you improve reality by default. You improve your world around you. And people start becoming interested in you, and they start becoming interested in the things that you're interested in, simply because it's such a pleasure to be in your company, because you are so comfortable with life. That's what I find with me. I mean, I'm so comfortable with who I am, and I'm so comfortable with life. I have no fear of anything that exists around the corner, because ultimately it's all about my experience. It's not about the event. It's about what I do with the information, how I choose to react to any certain event. Will I react from fear, or will I react from love? Will I do what's right for me, or will I do what's right? You know, and that's what matters. And that's how we do it. And I think if you just do that in your own life, then you'll improve your world by default. You'll improve the worlds of the people around you by default. And that's the way it works. I really believe this. It's worked for me anyway. My life has completely changed since I started living my life in that way. And by the way, I'll probably be in Mexico around about the 10th of March, I think. So you never know. We might catch up in Mexico.
Well, just please post it or something. So I know. Well, actually, I now live in Texas, but I go to Mexico every once in a while. And I don't know, like, people in Mexico are trying to awake to that they don't have, like, any of this around, like, we don't have, it's because I am very connected, I suppose, to American culture that I know about this, but most people in Mexico, like, they don't have word to get information, like, everything that's in Spanish is really controlled, like, from the, you know, mass media and the big cartel over there.
Well,
I'm super excited to just be talking to you, man. Like, I've been following you for 5 years, probably, and I don't know, I just want to express, like, I really, really appreciate a lot what you're doing. Like, even so, I have changed a lot when I start hearing you. I still think you're very honest with what you say, with your discourse. And I was kind of a little bit sad when I actually saw you, like, how you look like. Because, I don't know, I used to like to picture you, like, without image. But actually, now that I see you, like, I don't know, I even admire you more. Because, I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much for listening. It's a bit strange to have a picture out there, but thanks for listening. I appreciate the comment very much. Thank you.
Thanks, caller. And just remember this. If you want good neighbors, be one.
All right. I'll...
sorry about that. I already hit the mute on you. Sorry, my friend. Anyway, sorry. Santo, we got you on the air. And let it rip, boys and girls.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Good, mate. Nice to talk to you again, brother. Haven't spoken to you since yesterday.
Yep, that's right.
No, that was an interesting show yesterday. Nice to talk to you again on the air. How's life in Melbourne today?
Yeah, great. A bit better than yesterday. Still a little bit of a Four Seasons day, though. This summer is definitely proving to be a typical Melbournean weather, but even more so with, you know, the changes that are coming. This is no summer, guys. This is a weird, weird season.
Very strange here today too. Very cold here today. Huge electrical storm here the other day that I mentioned to you, night before last. That was absolutely spectacular. But quite cold here today. A bit muggy in my cabin, but overall, definitely not like an Australian summer at all.
No. Nope.
Well, turning off the Gulf Stream had something to do with that, and Harper's also got something to do with it. So it's the information is there.
Fear point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't mind me. Hey, listen, I changed my world. I base my existence on what I think, not what someone is telling me is what. Oh, look what happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
No, I just stay focused on paradise, my friends. That's all I do.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to do that. I mean, I'm really looking forward to whatever's coming. I'm looking forward to the next 12 months, certainly. I think we're going to see a huge shift. I think we're going to see a huge change. Like you say, the groundswell's already there. We've already got the numbers. People just need to get the right perspective and figure out what to focus on. Now, I really believe that it's trust. I think we can alleviate it all through that. And it's so simple that people can figure it out. And once people start doing it, then the rest of the world's going to notice. And really, I mean, Iceland has led the way in this. And people, we don't need to go and occupy Wall Street. We just need to occupy ourselves because we already occupy the whole planet. But we don't occupy ourselves. That's the problem. So I think people are going to do that. I think that's what we're going to see. And once people do start leading by example in their own communities and leading by example in all they do, getting involved. If there's public meetings, go there. Go to your council meetings. Go to government meetings. Go to public meetings and stand up and say something. Call these people out and mention, you know, be polite, but mention trust and call them out. And ask them where they get their power from. Just ask the hard questions. And you'll find more and more people are going to do this. And that's what I think we're going to see. Now, I think this is the time in history when mankind actually became free. I think we've got all the tools we need now to establish this freedom. I think it's the first time in history we ever have had these tools because it's the first time the mechanism of the system has been laid so bare for all to see. So This is a great opportunity for us, and I think that's what we're going to see. I think that's what this whole shift is about. It'll happen if people participate in it anyway.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, just a little bit of participation. And our Mexican friend there said it very clearly, and one of the reasons why I tell people not to bother trying to wake others up around them, you know, you're messing with their comfort zone. Just be the light, and the moths will come to you. I call it the cookie jar effect. I just, you know, I walk around like the cookie jar, and people, you know, wonder what kind of cookies I have, and I just, well, sorry, you can't have any right now. And boy, they come flying. It's quite something to behold. Yeah, just,
absolutely. You know, lead by example in all that you do, and you will attract people there. They'll want to know why you're the way you are, and that gets them involved. And that's, like you say, yeah, the cookie jar effect. That's a good way of calling it.
Yeah, well, it makes them want to have something that they haven't seen before. And, boy, it is just amazing to watch people come into their own. And that's really all it takes is that one, you know, being the good neighbor sets the example for others around them. You know, if you decide to go out and cut the neighbor's lawn tomorrow, if you're in an area where it's still warm enough to cut grass, don't be surprised of the smile you get. And again, a gift is given without obligation, because if there is a debt or an obligation or an expectation attached to it, it's not a gift. So always be mindful of that. And, you know, that for me was probably the biggest thing in my life. It's always been there. I've always given without expectation. And it took me a while to spot that. And now that I have, it really gave a paradigm shift in how I approach things. Because what we've been entrained into is that whole, well, I'm doing this for you, I have to get exchange from you.
Exactly.
That's an obligation.
Exactly. I've done a show called The Power of Giving. I've done so many talks where I've spoken about the power of giving, and that you're exactly right. It's so good to hear you say that you, when you give a gift, there is no obligation attached to it. Because if you've given a gift with an obligation attached, then really what you've given is a debt. So you've only given to yourself. You gave someone a debt they never asked for, and you disguised it as a gift. So really it was poison. It wasn't a gift at all. And too many people do that. And when you give to someone, you give because it's the right thing to do, and you give from your heart. There is no expectation, and that was wonderful to hear you say that.
Yeah, well, it's like here's the prime time season of people giving gifts, and, you know, look at the obligations. It's that one show, I remember one of the characters was given a gift, and he looked at her and he said, "You didn't give me a gift, you gave me an obligation." He had to go out and buy her something better. And that is the entrainment of the consumer mentality, instead of just saying thank you.
Yeah, exactly. If someone wants to give me a gift, I accept it graciously. And if I give to them, I don't expect them to give me anything back. I don't want them to give anything back. So, yeah, it's people have to get that. A gift-based culture is really what we need, and when we've got this economic culture that we've got, like we've got our whole existence based on an economic model, everything we do has got economic value attached to it. Or can I afford to give to this person? Can I afford to do this? You can't even go and do a seminar and talk to people. You've got to charge them money. You can't give them information. But what I do, I'll go out and I'll do a seminar and I won't charge any money. I'll give them the information. And then if they feel they got something from the information, they can give me a donation if they want. So, because even if you sell them the information, if you go and sell information to people, and we're forced to do this because, of course, I mean, you've got to pay the bills. I'm not saying people who go and do seminars shouldn't charge for them because they've got to pay the bills. But by creating a situation where we have to sell the information to people because we have to pay to be alive, we've thereby denied the people that we've given the information to the ability to give back to us. We deny them that opportunity because they have to buy. Because we have to buy everything, it removes the opportunity to give from us because everything's got economic value attached to it because that's the reality of our existence. You know what I mean? So we've had that whole mentality taken from us. Even our ability to be able to give to people. You know, gee, I'd really like to give to the neighbor, but I can't afford to because I've got to pay the electricity bill, you know. So I've got to sell it to the neighbor. You know, it's deprived us of that ability to be able to do that and to be able to really give the way we would like to. Because I believe everybody really wants to in their heart. I believe if people were in their natural state of abundance, all they would want to do would be give to those around them. You know, they wouldn't want to take from people. They'd want to give because it feels good to give. And if you're not in a state of scarcity, in a state of shortage, then there's no reason for you not to give. You know, so we've had that taken from us as well. It's very clever, this whole system, what it's done to enslave our minds and enslave our mentality and prevent us from being who and what we could be. It's very, very clever.
Yeah, it certainly is. Santos?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Santos, jump in here.
I enjoy that comment, Max. You put that in perspective. If there was abundance, which there is, but we don't, you know, we're not sort of in the society that believes or teaches that. There's always scarcity, but you are right. If there was abundance, you know, if the potato farmer had, you know, abundant potatoes, and the cabbage farmer had all these cabbages and everything, everybody would just want to give. You know, and they would. But because we've been told that, hang on, if you give that person the last cookie, then what are you going to have tomorrow? You know, scarcity, which doesn't really exist, it's a thing that this world has created and invented, and we've bought into it, doesn't exist, is hurting us. It's we that are hurt by that, you know. So thanks for that comment.
It's brought into existence by the economic model. It provides scarcity. That's what the economic model does. That's what money does. It provides scarcity. That's its sole purpose. And thereby prevents people, it removes from them the opportunity to be able to give to those around them. It puts them in a state of fear-based mind control, and it puts them in a state of self-service. It creates greed. You don't have greed until you have scarcity. So yep. it immediately takes you out of this, your naturally giving nature, and puts you in a state of greed, self-service, and fear-based mind control with the simple imposition of an economic model over the human psyche. That's its whole purpose. And that is the whole basis of the fear-based mind control that is our society. That's the whole basis of it, is the monetary system, is the natural state of scarcity that people are kept in instead of the natural state of abundance.
Completely. And that's why I went straight for the jugular, and I don't mean yours. I mean, I went straight for the jugular as in free energy. Nobody has paid the sun to shine. We can separate water molecules into hydrogen and oxygen and use those to heat our house, use those to power our car, and use those to keep warm in the winter. And that's why I have to get, I constantly go after, you need to know the truth about free energy before you can remove scarcity. And that's one of the fundamental building blocks.
You do, because the economic model is all based on energy, isn't it? Everything's energy. Energy is what, it's the greatest need of humankind, is energy. Everything's based on energy. That's why it's so expensive to do everything, because of the energy it takes. Exactly. You know, the energy it takes to grow the food, to harvest the food, to transport the food, to process the food. It all needs energy. So ultimately, that's what it comes down to. So if you've got free energy, absolutely, you've instantly removed scarcity. And that's why I say, if we ever get a chance to rein this government in and say, hey, you guys are in breach of trust, the first thing that needs to be done is to cancel all debt, because it's all fiction. Immediately cancel debt and introduce an honest monetary system, because that cancels fear-based mind control. That's what you have to do. You know, and it's only the fact that this economic system exists which has created a situation where we don't have free energy, because it isn't economically viable to provide free energy, because we've got to have a system based on permanent growth, don't we? You know, of course we do, you know. And permanent growth, how can you have a system of permanent growth in a planet of finite resources? It doesn't make sense, you know. So, the system's designed to fail. And it is. It's all based on energy needs, the whole lot. And it's the economic model that has kept energy being paid for, and has kept free energy such one of the most hidden and protected secrets ever. It's what killed Tesla, is the economic model.
Yeah, it's killed a lot of people. But that's the point. People need to get over the fear and get over the conditioning and realize that, you know, nobody's paying the sun to shine, so something's actually happening that produces heat and light in the form of free energy. And once you can break that fundamental model, you can bring the whole house of cards down. And so that's what I've tried to do.
That's one aspect of it. You know, again, it's people discovering who they are, you know, wanting to give to the people around them. You know, if people just start naturally giving to each other and start respecting each other, the whole system breaks down. It really does. People start understanding it's all based on trust. Your relationship with your neighbours is based on trust. Your relationship with your family, with your friends, with your government, with your teachers, with your workers, your employees or employers or anybody. It's all based on trust. And until we can start respecting each other, nothing's going to change. There's a question I'd like everyone to ask themselves. Are you the type of friend that you would want to have as a friend? I think that's a very important question that everybody should ask themselves every day. Are you the type of person that you would want to be around if you were someone else? Are you a pleasure to be around? You know, how much good do you do for reality by being in it? You know, these are fundamental questions that people need to ask themselves all the time. Because once they can answer them in a positive way, they'll find that their world will change. Once they can adopt a giving nature to themselves, regardless of the outcome, and give to creation. I always say there's one law to creation, and that is service to creation. And that doesn't mean serving others at the expense of yourself. You don't give to others at the expense of yourself, but you don't give to yourself at the expense of others. You don't give to nature at the expense of humanity, but you don't give to humanity at the expense of nature. You've got to keep it in balance. You serve creation by your presence in it. And that's the one law of creation. And if everything you do is done, you know, from that perspective, your reality changes, and everybody's reality would change. If everybody did this, like we said before, you could change the world in 3 seconds. 3 seconds, you could forget all the other fictional stuff. We wouldn't have to rein anything in, because if people actually did what was right in all that they did, not what was right for themselves, but what was actually right, not what the rule book says, but what was right, what their conscience dictates and what their morals dictate, and what is in service to creation, then the world would change in 3 seconds. It's really that simple.
And the change comes from within, and that's what people have to make the decision on. If they're not happy with the world around them, well, then that's the one they're manifesting. So, again, everyone goes external to blame that outside of themselves instead of looking at themselves inside to see what it is they need to fix. And when you start to really see this matrix for what it really is, it's quite magical. And the amount of power that you have as an aspect of creator is mind-blowing. And we've just been starting to tap into that in the last couple of weeks with little trails that we've been on, uncovering things in a most ethereal way, where it has literally become a treasure hunt, and it's a whole lot of fun. And we have lots of people playing. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's great. Like I said, it's a great time to be alive, and it's great to be out there riding the wave as well, and to be doing the research and to be part of the awakening, to see it all unfolding. It's spectacular. And, yeah, it's not something you could have planned to do or something that you would have planned to be somewhere where you would have planned to be, but it's great fun doing it. And I'm really, really looking forward to the times that are in the immediate future. The next 8 to 10 months, I think, is going to be an incredible time for humanity.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the comment the first caller made there with regards to jailing and all the rest of it. Something that people need to I needed to find for me first, and I will share this, and people can resonate it or not. People have to, for me, I had to lose the vengeance. I had to lose this whole idea of I'm going to get even in any way, shape, or form. And until you can actually do that, because here's the problem when you're looking at creation as a complete, essence. If you are, ripping away at one part of it, you're only ripping away at yourself. And the healing starts from within. And for lack of a better way to put it, the invisible wizard, a.k.a. nature, natural law, is watching. And karma, the balance, will always return. The pendulum will always return to center. It will go as far the other way as it goes one way. And if you're doing good, well, that's a beautiful thing. And if you're doing bad, watch out for that pendulum swinging back, because it will smoke you. I promise. That's how nature works. The closer you can get to the neutral center in peace, love, truth, and honor, and being that glorious light for others to see, the better your life is going to be. And that which manifests around you starts to change as well, because now you're creating your own canvas. You're not painting it from someone else's version of it on a TV or a magazine or radio shows or whatever. It's irrelevant. Keep your canvas very clean. Keep it very pure. It's yours. And if you allow others to write on it, well, that's your problem. Don't blame them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I don't really want to see anybody jailed. I mean, if people are exposed and the crimes that they've committed are made public and, we give them a slap on the wrist and tell them to go away. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to fall for them again. And it'd be far harder for them to exist and far more beneficial for them to exist in public life and just to go about their lives. And once the world knows what these people have done, They're going to have to live with that themselves. They're going to find their own healing in that. And that's the way it's done. And it's like when you get a murderer. I mean, if you believe in reincarnation and you believe in karma, if you get a murderer who has killed a serial killer, he's killed massive amounts of people, and then you go and you execute him, then where was the learning in that for him? Will he not maybe be reborn and then do that same thing again because he didn't get that moment of realization in himself? I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little too caring, but I don't believe in punishing these people. I think that they'll find out. I think they'll discover, maybe in their last breath, on their deathbed, they may just go, oh, my God, that's what it's about. Just before then, the next time they come back, perhaps they'll be different. But if you take it upon yourself to punish these people because you are seeking vengeance against what they did, which they didn't do to you in most cases, they did to somebody else, but you've chosen to be the vengeance that these people are to receive, well, have you not simply compounded the problem? I don't think it matters what anybody did. I think it matters what we do from this point forward. And most people that have done the wrong thing have done so because they're disconnected. They're disconnected because look at the society they've grown up in. It's a disconnected society. They're all enslaved to word magic. How can you blame anybody within this society for doing the wrong thing? I mean, look at this society. Look at what they've got to deal with. Look at how alien it is to what is real about humanity. That's what these people have grown up in. So how can you judge anyone for doing what you perceive to be the wrong thing, no matter how dreadful it was? You know, they're a victim of their circumstances as well. So I think there's a lot higher harmonic to look at before we look at punishing people. I think we really, really need to come to terms with who we are and what reality is. And I don't think vengeance plays any part in it at all, personally.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, the sentence, love thine enemies, actually means love thine nemesis, which is no vengeance. That's what it really means. So when you can finally get into a condition of unconditional love where you're looking at things as the observer only from the angle of that something I would do or something I would not do, then you've lost the external judgment and you've cast the mirror and light upon yourself to know that certainly there are things that out there that I would not do. And the fundamental goes back to trespass on free will choice. And Mark Passio said it beautifully, that everything in this universe in terms of wrongdoing boils down to one word, theft, in one form or another. And isn't it kind of oxymoronic when you think of theft in a creator status of one that can create anything and all? You're only stealing from yourself, right? So it's, we get some pretty heady subjects going here. Thanks. Cindy, jump in here, baby. Where are you?
I'm just all wrapped up in all this wonderful truth coming out. I totally agree with everything being said here. coming from a standpoint of never, ever having much in my entire life except for life itself and my beautiful children, and I've been very fortunate. But now I look at all my losses and just love everything that has ever happened to me. And project that love on everyone around me. I changed myself. I changed all my habits. I changed everything that comes out of my mouth. And it's making a difference in my household. It's making a difference with my neighbors. Just people who I'm friends with throughout the world on Facebook. Max, you were talking earlier about the ability to be able to give to others, and some people don't have the funds to be able to give like they would want to give, but there's so much that you can give that doesn't cost a dime. And if people would just step out and do more, and it doesn't matter what you do, anything, just smile at somebody, give them a hug, pick up the trash on the side of the street, just set an example, no matter where you are and what you're doing, focus on everything that's coming out of your mouth and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And
Absolutely. That is so true. And you can give something as simple as a smile to someone, and it can be absolutely life-changing. Give of yourself to people. Give your time to people. Give respect to people. Treat people as yourself. It's so important. And, yeah, beautifully said.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you want love, be love.
Yep.
It's that simple. That which you put out, you're going to reflect back to yourself. And yeah, we've been in a bit of a mess for a while, and it has taken a bit to change it, but that critical mass has been attained. And now that smile that you just mentioned, Max, is going exponential. I'm seeing it every day. I mean, I get friend requests on Facebook every day, not expecting or knowing where they come from. But that's things like that are just little indicators for me, and that keeps me on track to make sure that I'm doing the right things. And because I say, and I would happen to argue that everyone would agree with this, just because I say something is true doesn't make it true. It has to be a resonance. Truth is only something you realize. It's not a statement you can make. So that's why I tell people to be very careful with their canvases. If it doesn't resonate with you, don't put it on your canvas, because a resonance is a truth that belongs to you, and you can paint that. But just be very careful in what you paint on your canvas.
Absolutely.
Make it original.
Absolutely. I think it's really important when people look at the alternate media as well, to realize that what people are in the alternate media often use their perspective based on the research that they've done and how they've interpreted that research. And it's up to people to make their own mind. That's all I'm ever offering people on any of my shows, is my perspective of how reality works and my perspective of how I believe we can change things, in the hope that it may help people discover things for themselves, because I found it to be extremely beneficial to look at things from the perspective that I have, and I found it to be absolutely life-changing. I mean, if you start following energy and start following your emotions and following synchronicities, you can change your life. I mean, and I'm living proof that it works. And so that's what I offer, but it's my perspective. That's what everybody is offering, is their perspective. And I think it's important for the listeners to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and actually, if you can, we got lots of time left. I just like to make sure that people get their information in. They can go to your website at thecrowhouse.com, yes?
Yeah, thecrowhouse.com. That's where you'll find everything that is me. You'll find it all there, except a lot of the shows. I mean, I've done this is the fifth radio show I've done this week. I haven't actually posted any of them there yet. I'll try to get around to posting a couple of them. But you'll find most of it there, crowhouse.com or thecrowhouse.com.
Excellent. Yeah, well, make sure. Well, it's went out with all the postings, so there's quite a few people, maybe a lot of new people, that have just got access to your website. There's lots of beautiful information there that can reach people from the very, very sleepy to the very, very awake. So... all things
and Max,
you can go to Max.
I'm sorry, Max. You also have a Facebook page and group along with that too, don't you?
I have two Max Egan Facebook pages. One of them has got 5,500 friends, so you can't sign up to that. But the other one's got a few over 2,000 now, so you can friend me on that one. And there's also a Facebook page called Max Egan and the Crow House, and there's another one just called the Crow House. So there's two support pages, plus there's two pages that I have on Facebook. So, reaching a lot of people through Facebook. I only use Facebook as a means of spreading information. I don't really post there that much. Occasionally, I try to answer and say hi sometimes, but I don't really post what I'm doing there that much. And it's just a way of spreading information. I think all methods are workable. Whatever method they put there to try to control us, I'll go there, I'll sign up, I'll use it, and I'll speak out against them as loud as I can. That's just the way
I
am.
Use the tool. My motto is simple. Use the tool. Don't be one.
Yeah, exactly. I like to rock the boat. I get great fun out of rocking the boat, so that's what I do. And I'm happy. Like I said, I'm happy to talk to any of them. Any lawyers, politicians, anybody who wants to come and debate me on any of this stuff, not a problem. Happy to talk about it. So, but I'm not gonna take a backward step, and I'm not going to stop speaking my mind. That's just what I do. So, yeah, I think more people should do it, actually.
Yeah, a big cup of, oh, wow. Yeah, don't worry. You'll get over me. I did.
Exactly.
There's a lot of ways that people can do little things. And really, it is the little things that you can do that will change everyone around you. Mostly, it will change you. It's feeling good about the things that you're doing for other people. Instead of waiting for someone to wait on you hand and foot, why don't you, just put out a little bit a benevolence? You know, here's the best way to prove that it is a gift. Why don't you just go around and become the permanent Secret Santa? You know, where one of the best ways to do it is if you're, you know, if you're into the drive-through thing. I actually did this on the weekend, and I haven't got a whole lot of nickels to rub together, but I can still do it. You know, paying it forward. You know, pull up and grab a coffee, find out what the one behind you is, and pay for it as well. Drive off, and hopefully, we'll, you know, that'll keep going on down the line, because that is a seed that you can infect the one behind you with. Again, they're getting something without obligation, and no chance of you know, recompense. But what they can do is, if for any reason they get that beautiful gift message, that they can do the same for the one behind them. And you know, just make someone's day. It doesn't have to be anything big. Again, the Secret Santa is the most perfect way, and you do that year round. That's not just because of this time of year. Just go out and do something, you know, secretive for someone else. And they'll never know who it is, but it'll put a smile on their face, and you'll know in your heart that it was a true gift. So why don't you try something like that? You know, I can't say go out and cut the neighbor's grass in the middle of the night because they'll hear the lawnmower, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, those sorts of things are great. It's really good to do that. I mean, and giving is the basis of it all. You know, people can just lead by example in what they do. I think it's so important to do that, and that's how we change things. And we do have the numbers to do it. We just stand up and make it happen. And one person can make a difference. I mean, I'm just one person, and I speak out because I think it's the right thing to do. I believe that I should speak out, and so I do. So all you have to do is do what you believe is right. Follow your heart. Always do what is right in all that you do, and you'll change the world. Lead by example in all of it, and that's my motto, and that's what I've been living, and it does work. If you do this, then you will change your world, and one person can make a difference, because that's what we all are. Every person who's ever made a difference, everybody that you look up to, everybody, one of the truth gurus or whoever you perceive anybody to be, every one of these people is simply one single person that decided that they would speak out because they believed it to be the right thing to do. And so that's what we can all do. So don't ever believe that one person can't make a difference, because ultimately that's who all the differences in history were all made by. Ultimately, they're all made by one person.
Absolutely. You've got to have the courage to stand up and do the right thing and get the, you know, get some information out there to people that maybe they didn't actually know, and help that growth.
Absolutely.
Santos, I'd love to hear your comments on that.
Oh, I'm just enjoying these beautiful comments, guys. It looks like we've won. We've conquered the world. You know, I'm always thinking in theological terms, so excuse me, but I'm, you know, Jesus says, take courage, friends, for I have conquered the world, and so will you. The world is the illusion. And we conquer the illusion. Here we are talking about it. We've won. Come what may, you know, martial law, whatever these scary types think they're going to do to us, they can't. We have won. Once we have embraced the love, once we have embraced the consciousness, you win. It's over. Game over.
Yeah.
We've won. It's beautiful.
You're the untouchable. And that's exactly where you get to. When you find that unconditional aspect, and myself and so many others living proof of that, because I, you know, have made my runs at the system on very grand levels, and truly, if they wanted to shut me up, if they could shut me up, they would, but they can't. And that's because I found my heart. I found my cowardly lion, my tin man, and my straw man, finally. You know, like I said, the last to go will see the first three go before her, and they're gone. And I agree with you, Santo, as well, that I don't see this from a physical perspective anymore. I haven't for a very long time. It's strictly a theological. And how, you know, do you think you can change the world? How dare you think you can't? You know, and you're right, Max. Every major change on this planet has always been factored by one individual. So dare to be the one. It's a fun game.
Yeah. Very much. Absolutely dare to be the one, because, you know, we're all the one. That's the thing. You know, we're all Neo. You know, we just have to realize that we're all the one. And, yeah, this is how we do it. So So, yeah, great time to be alive. And like I said, don't ever believe that you can't make a difference, because you can. Every single person can. All you have to do is follow your heart and do the right thing. So, yeah, I say bring it on. Anything that they want to try, yeah, it's irrelevant to me. It's all fiction. I know exactly who and what I am. And, you know, again, they don't take people like us out because they can't, because of the damage it would do. People have often said to me, if what you're saying is true, why haven't they taken you out by now? And I say, because at the moment I'm just a conspiracy theorist with a radio show. But if they were to kill me or to take me out of circulation, then suddenly my words become philosophy. That's what happens when you die, is your words become philosophy. Your perspective becomes philosophy for other people. And I'm far more dangerous to them dead than I am alive. So, and I also think that once you get to a certain vibrational level, they just can't do it. They can't get you, because you're not, it's not part of your reality. You're not resonating at that frequency. I don't think they can possibly stop what I'm doing. I don't think they ever will. I think it's out there now, and the more they try to stop it, the more they will make it stronger. And that's just the way it works.
Hear, hear. Brilliant words. And that is the thing.
Yeah, don't mind the dead air. Sometimes I just like to sit here and absorb too, you know, so I don't get the chance to stop. But listen, we got a little over four minutes left here, so we'll just do a quick wrap up. And by the way, Santo, Miranda wants to chat with you very quickly after the show about the Cygnus constellation, of which when I'm standing outside, I'm looking right at it. It's quite beautiful. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that. So if you guys all want to maybe share your information, your contact stuff, and what have you, what you want to give up, that's great. Go ahead. We've got, like I said, about 3.5 minutes here.
Special guest first, Max.
Well, my website is thecrowhouse.com. You can find everything that I've done there. You'll find the 6 films that I've made. They're all free. My book that I wrote is there for free. I am actually going to fix the typos and publish that as a real book due to popular demand when I can afford to do so. All my radio archives are there. Everything I've done is pretty well on that website, thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to my Facebook page and my YouTube channel there as well. It's all there for you. Enjoy.
Awesome. Santo.
Yo, I'm on universaltruthschool.com, and the School of the Holy Science is another website, .org. And, of course, I've got my YouTube handle, Mr. Astrotheology, with all my free videos. 21 presentations on there.
Imagine that, 21. What are the odds? Anyway, Tony, go ahead.
Yep, I published a book, Blueprints of Cosmic Consciousness. Together with others, I blow the lid off free energy. And several other things, to say the least, UFO, anti-gravity, all sorts of other things. It's free to download at awakeconsciousawareness.com, and it's interactive, so you won't be bored to death reading hundreds of pages of words. So that's where you can get my information, and it'll blow your socks off.
Excellent. Just type there. Someone's speaker is feeding back pretty heavily here, so just check levels if you can. That would be great, guys. We're going to wrap this up. We're a little over a minute and a half left here. Cindy, any comments you want to make?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Any comments you'd like to make?
Just that I've really enjoyed the show, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Always, Cindy. Love to have you. Important support role for so many of us. So greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
No, I love being in the company. I feel completely honored.
Well, we're honored with your presence. And Max, thank you so much for coming on Freedom Reigns Outside the Box with Tony, myself, Cindy, and Sonia. It's just been a great night of sharing simple ideas, simple concepts, and so I just want to thank you. listeners that are tuned in right now. That's proved to me one thing, that dragging is waste. That's beautiful. And don't forget to tune in again on Friday, Freedom Rain, from 7 to 9 p.m. We have Marty Lee joining us. That's going to be a fun night. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we have a brand new site firing up on Friday, the 20th figure, SD.com. Get information out of that. That comes in. So I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And love you all.
God bless.
Bye, everybody.
Great to meet you, Mac.
My pleasure.
Take care. Safe travels. We'll chat soon. Love to all.